Welcome to the Allegedly Podcast. I'm Theo Vaughn.
And I'm Matthew Cole Weiss.
And we are friends. Aren't we?
Yes, we're friends.
Yes, we're friends.
It hasn't gone past that yet.
And it never will. We are total opposites.
Yes, I am a gay Jewish man from Philadelphia.
Yeah, he's handsome. He's handsome, guys. Young guys. He prefers the young. I am a straight male from Louisiana, one of the big 50, and I am Baptist.
So this is our podcast, Allegedly, in which we will dive into the dark gutters of Hollywood.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell stories about what we've really experienced living here for the past over a decade, each of us.
Yep.
And from our different backgrounds and our different career choices and our different celebrity interactions, we're going to just lay it all on the table and tell you what it's really like. And we're going to have a celebrity guest in.
Yep. Every episode, we're going to have a celebrity guest who's going to share some of their stories. Matt and I are going to be sharing our stories. We're going to get dirty. We're going to get into the gutters, as Matt said, of the Hollywood Hills and everything that happens here, the dark eddies of show business.
And we're going to add one more aspect to it, and that is that this is a competitive podcast. Hollywood is competitive.
Yep, and it doesn't stop here at this podcast either.
Exactly. So we're going to have three rounds. Mm-hmm. Round one, Tales from the Wood.
Tales from the Wood, and that is where each Matt and I will tell a tale from Hollywood, a personal experience, and our celebrity guest will be the judge. They get to decide, based on any criteria they want, who won the round.
Round number two is the celebrity interview. Both Theo and I have experience interviewing celebrities.
Yep, I've interviewed every celebrity that's pretty much B or C list. Like everybody from Joe Simpson to one of those urban ladies on Real Hip Hop Super Wives.
Are there non-urban ladies in Real Hip Hop's urban wives?
I don't think there are.
I have interviewed Bill Clinton, the Rolling Stones. I have interviewed Robert De Niro. I've interviewed everybody there is out there. So then the celebrity will tell us who interviewed them better. And then we go on to round three, which is?
The third round is called 7 Minutes in Hell. That's where I get to pick a topic that a unique, handsome Southern Baptist man like myself would like to discuss and put it onto Matt's plate.
And then I will pick a topic that I don't think Theo will really want to talk about, so it'll be a struggle for him to get through the round.
Yep, so that's how it's going to work, and the celebrity guest will decide who sentenced the other person to the better 7 Minutes in Hell. And that'll be all three rounds. There'll be a winner for every episode.
And we will know who won the podcast, and that is Allegedly.
That's allegedly the stories from Hollywood. All right, guys, today we have our first guest, and he is
Mr. Riley Smith. You may know Riley from this season of True Detective. He plays Rachel McAdams' husband on the show.
He does. Wow, that's got to be nice.
But he has been around this business for how long, Riley?
16 years.
16 years.
And hasn't aged pretty much a week.
Seriously, you look the exact same, man.
Oh, man, thanks.
You may know Riley from other stuff, including Radio, one of a classic movie.
Speaking of old.
Yeah. Speaking of old.
Great movie.
And tons of TV shows. He's been on like every TV show from 24 to
True Blood last year.
True Blood last year.
I mean, you've worked since you've come into town.
Yeah. Yeah, I came into town working.
Right.
And so I got off on the right foot.
Were you on the Golden Girls?
I should have been on the Golden Girls.
He was not on the Golden Girls. So.
The Cosby Show. Yeah.
No, were you really on the Cosby Show? Oh, my God.
No.
I want to know what that experience was like.
I bet you do. Matt was probably
maybe you were and you don't remember.
Matt would probably
be
one
point to Matt.
Yeah, there we go.
Wow.
All right, so we got to set up the clock for our first round, Tales from the Wood. I'm going to start.
Yep.
Or actually, Riley, whose story do you want to hear first?
I got a number behind my back.
All right.
Theo, is it even or odd?
It's odd.
It was even.
All right. Sorry. So I'm off to a good start. So this is my story, and this is true.
He gets 5 minutes. Five minutes on the clock. Andrew, we good?
So this is a true story. When I first moved to L.A., I was trying to write and direct, but I couldn't make any money. So I did focus groups.
A Jewish nightmare, by the way.
I know. My mom wasn't very happy. So I did focus groups. You know what focus groups are?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a way to make like $100, and you can go into a room, and they will get your opinion on certain things, whether it be products or – I actually did the focus group ones for that Tina Fey show, 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this show's horrible. It'll never succeed. Just shows you how good I am at this. Anyway.
You're exactly who we want focusing our groups.
Exactly. So I did one which was about – racism, and it paid a lot. Okay,
so that's the $150 one, right?
Yeah, it was like $150
and a free brown lunch.
And so I go in, and what it is you're supposed to talk about the state of racism today, where it is in America, and your background as far as like any kind of racial issues, whatever. It's like 15 white people. We're sitting around an hour into it. Nobody's really said anything, and they're like, "Come on, this is really for the benefit of." You know, society. And so I was like, all right, I raised my hand. I can't believe I'm admitting this. And I said, I remember when I was little that my instinct the first time I met a black person was to wash my hands afterwards.
Oh, wow, dude. That is racist. I mean,
you guys you have to understand, I just got here and this is where we're at. I'm like,
this is true.
What the hell am I got myself into?
They go, oh, this is Matt's life. My God. Like, really? Yeah. And I'm like, are you still that way? And I'm like, no, I was a kid. And they're like, where did this come from? I was like, I guess my parents. I don't really know. But, you know, I grew up in a place where there wasn't, you know, it was very white. And I'm just, you
but
know.
You had pictures of black people, didn't you?
Yeah, we had pictures. I knew they existed. And so they were like, okay, thanks for sharing. 2 more hours go by. Other people share stuff. At the end, they go, thank you for sharing. By the way, this is for a new FX special that Ice Cube is producing called Black White. And this is going to be on TV. And not only that, but 2 of the people that are in this room are actually black and they are in white makeup.
No.
So I turn around and I'm like, and then they stand up. It was literally like the one stands up and the other stands up. I'm like, oh, Jesus, what did I say? And I'm like, and I signed something beforehand because I wanted the $150. Yeah, yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to forget about this. About a year later, my manager at the time calls me and he goes, Matt? And I said, yeah. And he said, I'm watching FX and I just saw a show. I think it's you, where you said you wash your hands every time you meet a black person.
Oh, wait. So he wasn't a manager for reality show guest racist?
No, exactly. This was,
That was his little niche market of management.
No. And he
In
goes,
which case, he would have been super happy.
Exactly. Yeah. No, this is my manager trying to get me a job. Honestly, like I had a meeting at Vin Diesel's company that week that we canceled because of this. So he goes, what the fuck? I think I just saw you saying that you washed your hands. And I was like, what? No. This wasn't like that. I watch it. And they totally edited it. So it seems like I say I wash my hands every time I meet a black person.
Wow.
And then they say, what did this come from? And I totally throw my parents under the bus. So I'm like, all right, this will disappear. Not only does Oprah pick it up, and it's on the Oprah show because she has the cast on. But they referred – thank God they referred to me as Matt, college student at the time. And they didn't give my last name. But they show it on Oprah and they show my clip. They write about it in the Washington Times about the college student.
Who is so racist.
Who is so racist because apparently I'm representing – what the nation
of
is
course.
Like today, you know?
Well, ironically, Matt still refers to himself on Tinder as Matt College Dude, just to pick up dudes.
I do. Actually, that's what I look for. I'm only going to – and so not only that, my parents saw it, and they go,
Jesus.
What the hell? Like, you said we taught you to be a racist? Like, that's not true. And I was like, well – and they're like, no, Matt, no. You should never, ever say that and be like – and I said, well, it's editing. You know reality. I mean, you know reality TV. They edit you to get whatever the juiciest thing out of it.
Yeah, but they can only use what you give them, man. If you're saying stuff,
I know. Sure. I'm such a fucking idiot.
Yeah, don't try to put it on me now. Don't try to blame it on anybody.
I was like, why did I say that after? But you got to understand, my intention was really good. It was like, I'm going to.
They drug it out of you.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, I'm going to solve racism single handedly by telling the story.
Washing your hands.
So now, anytime like I go to a restaurant, and I've told a couple friends, like, I won't watch this, but you can find it on YouTube. And, like, we have an African-American waiter. My friend will turn to me and, like, do the hand-washing move, which makes me incredibly uncomfortable. And I'm like, okay, really funny. Yes, I just want to clear up, not a racist.
Okay.
Okay?
Now, I have to say, if Theo wants to even compete in this round, he's going to have to go, like, completely, like, bash transgender. Because that's, like, you know.
Look,
I mean, that's the other hot topic right now. If you want to just go over the top with it.
Exactly.
No, I mean, Matt is all – I mean, you're talking to a guy right here. Okay, that's Matt's time. All right. So, now we're going to start my story.
I'll tell you about when I – pretended I had Parkinson's next
next time you come back. That's who you're dealing with here.
Okay. He's just trying to get an extra brownie point.
That's a true story.
If he has a brownie point, he'll wash his hands after.
Is this round based on the most horrible person award?
It's your criteria.
Okay, okay.
Whatever you want, man. However much you really enjoyed this story.
All right, Theo, take it.
All right. So this story actually involves Matt, and this is one of the worst experiences of my entire life, right?
as stories involving me tend to be.
Right. So, so as a comedian, you get booked to do a lot of crazy things, a lot of unique events, right? So I've been hosting like Emmy, like pre-Emmy, like nominee award, like moments and stuff like that on the web. And there was a group called the Publicist Guild here that saw me, and they're like, "Oh, we want you to host our big event." And it's at the Beverly Hilton, and I didn't think it was like a big deal, right? And I also thought they wanted me to roast, right? I thought of roast. For some reason I got mixed up with host and roast, right? Crazy, right? So I go to this event. I show up there that day, and literally, like, I'm sitting in the green room, and like Sally Fields.
I think S.
Fields.
It's actually
not the cookie maker. The lady Forrest Gump's mom.
Yeah, it's pronounced Struthers.
Yeah, Sally. No, it isn't.
Sally.
She's sitting in there. Field. Okay.
Andrew says Field.
1D.
All right, 1D.
Right. She's sitting in there, and like Robert Downey Jr. is there. Like Chi McBride is there. Like there's like it's a pretty big deal. I didn't think it was going to be a really big deal, right? And I'd been out drinking the night before. Like I'm just living regular life.
And here is where he made his epic mistake.
So I was like, I need some roast jokes for this thing, right? Like I had some ideas, but I was like, this thing's crazy. Like it's like, there's 1,200 people sitting here. It's Beverly Hilton. It's daytime. Like this is a big event. So I'm like, I'll call up Matt, right? Matt's working for TMZ at the time. Like he's constantly roasting celebs, right? Uh-huh. So I call up Matt, and Michael Douglas is who they were honoring, no. Who I thought was Batman.
Kirk Douglas,
I'm sorry, who I thought was Batman.
See, we're off to a good start. You didn't even know who they're on. Kirk Douglas is
okay,
different
right,
than Mike
bro.
Douglas.
Like, bro, so I'm like, okay, Kirk Douglas, man. So I start writing a bunch of Batman jokes, right? So I tell Matt the Batman jokes, and he's like, what the fuck are you even talking about? Like, Kirk Douglas, like, here are the jokes that you need, right? So Matt gives me some jokes, okay?
Let me just say my first one because I think it's so funny.
Okay.
I said that Kirk Douglas's publicist has the easiest job in the world because all she has to say is he's not dead yet. Because that's the call she's getting all the time. Like, is he dead? Is he dead? Easiest job.
Okay, so I go out there and first they invite Kirk Douglas out, right? And he's handicapped.
Yeah.
He only uses vowels when he talks. Like, he has been hit by lightning, Like, that's
it's called a stroke.
He had a stroke.
Okay.
He had a stroke. So I didn't know this, though, I'm just like, wow, this dude is, like, a maniac, He's like a wild man. Like, he's drunk, Like, he's up there just yelling with vowels only, So I get up there next, right? And they're like, now let's bring up our host. Like, they give him a Lifetime Achievement Award or something, and then they send him home, like, in a van, I'm sure. So then I get up there and I'm ready to roast, right? I'm ready to roast. So I use Matt's joke, right? Dead silence. Okay, dead silence. Except one black guy actually in the middle of the room starts dying laughing, right? And I grew up in Louisiana. Like, I'm like, black, white is my culture. So, like, I can tell a black laugh when I hear it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, only one guy laughed, and I know it was a black guy, because right? I could just tell, right?
So, you said that out loud?
Yeah, totally. Like, but nobody, like, thinks that it didn't come across as racist. It was just, like, it was obvious. It was like a black dude's laugh, yeah, right? Yeah. So whoever's doing the lighting in the room brings the lighting up, right? So now everybody's looking for this black guy for no real reason. Like, who brings up the light? Like, that's what really made it, like, racial, right? Anyway. So I'm just like, these people are weird, right? And I had one laugh. I was like, I can get two laughs next time, right? So I had another joke. I was like, I know Kirk Douglas was alive today because I had an Alive or Douglas app on my phone, right? Dead silence,
crickets.
Bro. Dead silence, dude. But you know what? When you're down 0-2.
You got to keep swinging.
You got to keep swinging, bro. You know what I'm saying?
And we were just writing that. Like,
oh, they were. What was the next?
I said the only press release they have to write is his obituary.
She just has to keep changing the date on it, right? Like, I mean, this place is dead silent, dude. Almost as dead as I thought Kirk Douglas was. Okay.
Oh my God,
so, dude, I just didn't know. And it's so awkward, bro. People are like eating salmon, and it's just awkward. So I leave stage and I go. And Robert Downey Jr. is standing there, right? Mm. And he's like, wow. He's like,
And when Robert Downey Jr. says, wow.
And this is Robert Downey Jr. I've been at a party of his 8 years ago. I was at a party with Robert Downey Jr. was there, and he had nothing going on in his existence. But he's like, wow, man. The good thing is in 10 years, nobody will remember this. And I was like, you would know. That's what I said.
There we go.
That's a good punchline to the end. If I had to vote here,
yes,
both humiliating,
scarring.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah. I feel like one was. Well, I guess they were both very offensive, right?
Yes.
And both racist somehow. What network is this on? Am I on the racist network?
No.
I'm not racist. That was the whole point of the story.
Yeah, mine. I forgot even that the black guy was there until like I just remembered it.
Well, now that's racist.
Yeah. No, it isn't. We're fine. We're fine on the racist level, but whose story do you like better?
I think... Oh, man.
And you can award fictional points. You can do whatever you want.
And don't forget who's your friend here.
let's see. You know, I'm going to have to give the Hot Topic edge to Matt on this one. Only because it's a hot topic, and he definitely went above and beyond.
All right, how many points are you giving me?
It was just a slight edge. So what's the point?
Whatever you want.
So let's say each round's worth 5 points.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you four out of five.
Yeah.
But that's a sliding scale. You know, Theo could come up with five out of five.
You're so fair. I love your attitude. I'll accept 3 points.
I'm trying to figure this out right now.
Okay, cool.
That was a great story, though.
Thanks,
too.
Man.
Well,
very sad.
Bottom line, I won the round.
Okay.
So cheers for me.
Just because you were more racist.
But I'm not racist. How many times? Don't bring this story up to my mom, by the way.
You got to do my producers. Jesus.
All right, so let's move on to round number two, which is our interview with our guest. Riley Smith.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Theo and I will take turns asking you questions at the end of the round.
And how do I judge you guys for this?
You as the guest, because we never, you know, as people, Theo has interviewed a lot of people before. Okay. He worked for Yahoo, and he's interviewed every D-lister there is.
Everybody, man, from Joe Simpson to Mike Rowe. Mike Rowe was actually awesome.
Yeah, I heard he's pretty cool.
He's really cool. And I've worked for People Magazine, TMZ, Us Weekly. I've interviewed presidents to whatever. So... But we don't have the other point of view, which is the interviewee.
Right.
So you can tell us afterwards and use the criteria of who did a better job, who asked better questions,
cool.
who you thought was more comfortable or whatever.
Cool.
So let's begin.
All righty.
Matt?
All right. My first question is, I want to talk about True Detective first. Get this off the bat. Because A, I'm a big fan of the show. B, it seems like the coolest show to be a part of and one of like the most – sought after shows to be a part of, especially with season two. But I want to know what it's really like doing it. Is it as serious as it seems?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really serious. It was
like if you crack a joke, are they like, fuck no, you're out of here?
Yeah, I wouldn't even have tried. Honestly, it's very, it was the most intense work situation I've ever been a part of. Starting off with, they don't give you a script, they only give you your sides. Which is your scene, and then you have to go on this website that has, it's all encoded, and you have to put in a special password. It won't allow you to print it. It disappears after X amount of minutes.
Wow.
It's really intense. A lot of times you get fake sides so that it throws everyone off, you know? That's why they didn't do a premiere. They didn't want anybody to have any clues. I mean, we're all lost. I'm watching the show right now, and the only thing I know is the couple scenes I'm in.
Yeah.
So I was trying to figure out how that fits into the, you know, I immediately... When I got the job, it was a guaranteed 2 episodes opposite Rachel McAdams, love interest. So everybody, including my agents, myself, was ecstatic.
Ecstatic, you know? I'm sure. Congrats. Yeah. That's such a great... I mean,
Deadline did this whole thing. And then it became... When I finally got my first episode scene, it was one scene, and it was the audition scene. I was like, is there anything else? And they're like, no, that's it for episode one. And I'm like, shit. Okay, all right. You know, beggars can't be choosers. I would take this job no matter what. And I've been telling people that in hindsight, if they would have been up front and say, hey, it's 2 scenes and 2 episodes, take it or leave it, I'd have been like, I'll take it. But, you know, at the time, you always want more. And so then, you know, the first day on set was something like I've never seen before. Nick, who's the creator of the show, is so insanely smart and has his hand on every single piece of that show.
I mean,
he literally is giving direction. He's doing set, you know, he's, you know, doing the set decoration. If something's off, he's over there fixing it. And I mean, he's doing everything. He's got his eyes and his hands on everything. So immediately that's your boss. That's a creator. And the show was so big last season that you're nervous as hell. Then I'm opposite Rachel, who's so good and beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful.
And she was in the very first scene, we're coming out of the bedroom after something had happened. And,
Probably something. Sex.
Yeah, sex?
Yeah, it was. Well, yeah, we were trying to figure out. It was insinuated sex. And also, she had stuck something up my ass. We weren't sure.
Oh, yeah.
I had kind of decided that maybe it was a finger.
Right.
She wanted to think it was a whole dildo. So
wow.
I, you know.
She was going full. Yeah. She was going full on, the Matt.
Stakes,
how is that?
The
man?
Stakes were high with this one. But
that's, yeah. You just asked me what that is like.
All right. But yeah, that was awkward because I remember rewatching that scene and be like,
what are they talking
here?
About?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
because you're saying a lot without saying
this
a lot.
This is the first time that, like, we never, you know.
Yeah, I didn't
but
know.
There was no method acting involved in that.
No, we didn't get to. But, you know, we were alone in this room before we walked out and both scantily clad. And I'm sitting here going, like,
wow.
I'd been on set for an hour at this point, and I'm like, this is my life right now. I'm trying to focus on what I have to say when I walk out of this room, but I've got the beautiful, you know, girl in front of me. And,
yeah.
And, but yeah, and you know, and no one jokes around on the set. It's very quiet, serious set. Everyone in between every take is dead silent, and so it's like it becomes really intense.
Wow, guys,
really
see, this is what Hollywood really like. Even the actors don't know get the scripts and
yeah. But that's the first time I've ever come across that as this show.
Right.
So you know, it makes it a lot harder to. I mean, figure out what the hell's going on. How do I, you know, I was thinking, what is my purpose on this show? Slowly, I'm figuring it out.
Was she cool? Is she cool?
Rachel's awesome.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. She's really good.
I think she's in my top five if I were to go that way.
She's got to be in everybody's, man. She's so,
like, because there's something cute and adorable about her. Like, number one for me is Amber Heard.
Okay, dude. Okay. My question.
It's not about me.
Okay. You look so young. Have you always looked so young?
I love it. You know, by the way, I meant to tell you this. I saw you perform at the Comedy Store.
Oh,
one
nice.
Night, randomly, somebody said, let's go see these this night. Somebody wanted to see somebody, and you popped up. You were the funniest guy in that set that night.
Oh, thanks, man.
And I remembered we have a mutual, I don't know what you'd call it. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we both dated the same gal.
Yeah, we did.
Eskimo Brothers.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are.
And I remember after seeing you on stage, I'm like, oh my God, this is the dude. He's so fucking funny. Can I say F? I don't know if
that's
funny.
Yeah, of course,
okay. Yeah, thanks, man.
So
I appreciate
funny.
It.
Yeah.
We got a Netflix special coming out this year, so I'm pretty stoked.
Nice, man. Well, congrats. So I'm really happy for you.
Not him and just him.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't mind a Netflix special with her, though.
You could pull out some old tapes or something.
I think I do have some audio on my phone, like on a tape recorder
there you
or something.
Go.
Literally a tape
We all
recorder.
Got them. No, so anyway.
But yes, you look so young.
Yeah.
Have you always looked so young?
I have. When I moved here, I was 18.
Right.
And I was playing like 15. And then by 20, I remember I was 28 and I was playing a senior in high school, 18.
Yeah.
So I went from 18 playing 15 to 28 playing 18.
Jeez.
Lately, I'm starting to creep up into the late 20s, but it's also been a curse because I want to, you know, there's more roles in your 30s, there are better roles in your 30s, and when you fall in between the young 20s and the 30s, there's not as much going on for that late 20s, so my opportunities have been less, and I've had to really, one day I'll go in an audition for literally like a 24-year-old, and where I'm 37, so it's like, how the hell is that possible, but I'll get them, and then I'll go in for a 33-year-old, which I feel like a baby in, but you know, I'm just trying to find that age range. So it's a blessing and a curse at
the
same time.
My question.
All right.
You've been doing this for so long now. What has been the – have you had a really uncomfortable or awkward or worst audition story?
Oh, God. I've had so many, and my friends love hearing them.
I want to hear the worst one.
Well, I went 1 week. This was, you know, back in the early 2000s when I was playing a – you know, late teen, and I was doing the WB thing a lot back when, before the CW was the WB. And I was always on their networks and doing pilots for them. And this one pilot season, they kept bringing me in and testing me, which is where you go into the big room with all the executives and, you know, the head of Warner Brothers, the head of the network, and whatever that is, if it's Fox.
And do even an experienced actor like yourself, even do you get nervous on that
day? Yeah, I always do because you have so much on the line. You know, it's like potentially one of these pilots could be a hit show.
Life-changing.
A lot of them are. You know, I've tested for, when I was younger, I tested for all those shows. It was, you know, the OC is me and Ben and One Tree Hill. It was me and Chad.
Golden Girls? No.
Golden Girls. It was me and
and
Betty. Yeah. Yeah, so you know that potentially over the years, like, you've seen the pilots that could change your life, and so then you sign the dotted line right before you go in and test, and then put you on ice for like 2 hours. You sit there with the guys that you're testing against, and you have to like make small talk. You've just signed your life away. You know, you could potentially, you're this close to making a ton of money, and then you go in front of all these stale suits that are just staring at you. You're lucky if they smile,
right?
And you have to tap dance, you know, and so. Anyway, this 1 year at the WB, they'd brought me in literally five times in 1 week for five different shows to test, which is the final deal, you know. And it was like, I didn't get one for one reason, and the next day I went back in, didn't get another one for another reason. And it was getting to be ridiculous. At that point, I started just like joking about it. So this was for the Reba. Remember when Reba
was awesome.
Yeah, well, thank you. I didn't get it. Here's one of the reasons why I didn't get it. So it was Reba. I'm not really known to do comedy, and so I was already kind of off of my zone with that. And I thought, I need to do something to make them laugh before I even try to make them laugh with the scene. And I had known, because I'd been in there five times that week and multiple times in my career, that there in the president's office, there's a bathroom. And I'd just seen it because I'd been in there so many times. I thought, all right, I'm going to start this off right. So I walk in. They're like, this is Riley Smith. And I said, hey, excuse me, guys. Can I need to take a piss real quick. And I walked in the bathroom, shut the door, turned the water on, looked at myself in the mirror and went, what the fuck did you just do? So then I flushed the toilet, turned the water off, walked back out, zipping up my pants like jokingly. I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go. And nobody laughed. It was like crickets. And I mean, I might as well have not even auditioned at that point. So I did the scene, and the whole time in the scene, I'm going like, they hate me. And then I didn't get the job.
Well, I'm going to tell a quick side story that you will relate to as an actor.
It better be quick, dude.
It's quick, I promise. I was directing a movie, and we had made an offer to an actor. And then the producers decided they did not want this actor to be it. Instead of pulling the offer to the actor, they had him come in and sabotage the meeting.
How did they sabotage it?
The actor goes, so I, they're asking, what's your background? He's like, I went to Yale Drama School. And the guy's like, Yale. And the actor's like, huh? And he's like, fucking Yale. Who goes to Yale? And I was like, this was the most uncomfortable thing in the world. And then they asked him more questions. I wouldn't want nothing to do with this. Like, so you were in this movie. I thought that was pretty bad, man.
Wow.
And this guy was... This is a well-known actor. I felt so horrible, and he was getting so upset, rightfully so, that he walked out.
Wow.
And then really? It didn't work. He didn't get the part. I mean, he didn't want to accept the offer, so it was awful.
My question, as you see those around you age, is it awkward that you don't?
Sometimes. Some people age.
Like, you go back home. I know you're from Iowa. You go back home and you see people like who used to look like your friends and now they look like your parents. Is that?
Yeah. Well, that's back home is definitely a reality check.
You know,
a lot of people age faster back there. It's weird. I don't know why. I think that they all have a lot of kids.
Right.
And kids age you. Yeah. I don't know.
You don't have any kids.
Not that I know of.
Right.
No. I guess it could be awkward. Some people age really gracefully. Some people, age better.
Right.
And become like a better looking man. So in that case, I'm a little bit jealous. I always say I'm behind the curve. Like, remember when the original 90210, they all had the lamb chops.
You know?
I can't grow facial hair still. I can only grow this right here. This takes like a week. For those of you watching, it looks like a baby's 5 o'clock shadow. So anyway, I couldn't grow lamb chops. So I always grew my hair really long and then gelled it down.
Right.
And my cousin knew this. So all the time in high school, he's a year older than me. If I was walking through the hall, he'd just grab the side of my hair, my fake chops, and yank them and be like, it's not real hair, douche. So then recently now the beard has become the coolest thing in the world. It makes every guy hotter, I guess.
Yeah.
But I can't grow a fucking beard. Wow. So I'm always behind the curve.
But one day you'll be able to, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I'm jealous about for the guys that can grow hair.
I would
hair.
Assume the upside is you don't have like back hair and shit.
I don't have any hair.
So like,
you're like a 15-year-old girl. That is pretty hot, actually.
That's an upside. I mean, well, yeah. On that end, it's a... But,
that
otherwise...
Like a beautiful midget's leg. That thing is beautiful,
that's
man.
Maintenance. All right, my question.
All right.
So you've been doing this for a long time and been in the city. You've probably met every celebrity.
Everybody, yeah.
Who has been surprisingly awesome, like, to you, and who is a jerk?
My favorite encounter with a celebrity that was really cool to me was Woody Harrelson. I was at dinner with a producer of one of the failed pilots I did. And we were, and he said, you know, I grew up with Woody Harrelson. I don't know if you know that, but he's having some people over tonight. Do you want to come? It was me and Chris Evans, actually. We're at dinner with this guy.
Chris Evans, the tennis player?
Yes, yes, yes. No.
No, that's Chris Evert.
Chris Evert. Chris Evans, Chris Mr. Evan is Captain America.
Okay.
So anyway.
Why would he be at dinner with Chris Evert, the tennis player?
I don't know. It would make the story even cooler, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
But then I love when we said Captain America, he's like, I never heard of him.
Still. No clue.
I don't know.
But anyway, so we go up to Woody's house. And
we go up to Woody's house. That's the best. I love it.
Yeah. And so and it's this beautiful piece of land up in the hills, but it's kind of a real hippie shack of a house. And there's like, it's exactly what you'd think. There was like people on the floor, like sitting Indian style in like rainbow pants, you know, like the hippie, you know,
wow. Smoking pot,
yeah, smoking pot sure. and conversating. And I'll never forget. I tried to light up a cigarette at one point and he was like, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing, man? And I'm like, shit, I just pissed off Woody, like, right when I meet him. He's like, you don't smoke that shit around here. If you want, you got to go down the street to smoke. And I was like, okay, cool, man. I respect
wow.
that. But then he pulled out his box vaporizer.
Right.
And we're playing pool. I'll never forget. We're playing pool in this one room. And it was me and Chris against him, Woody and
Andre Agassi.
Yeah, exactly. And Woody was the first time I smoked out of a vaporizer was with him at his house, and he's showing me like why it's good. He's pulling out the residue that it collects, and this is what would go into your lungs if you know. And then he's meditating in between pool shots, which was the coolest thing. Like we had to wait for him to get done doing like one of the chi poses to do his next shot. And then I never forget, I got so high that when everybody else was ready to leave, like the people I came with, I couldn't drive. I was like, wow. And I had driven up there, and I was like, I'm gonna have to stay. So then it's just like me at Woody's house with Woody and his friends trying to come down from this vapor hit.
From that Woody weed, bro.
Yeah, man. Wow. It was amazing. Wow. So, you know, and he was the coolest guy in the world to me that night. You know?
That's awesome.
He didn't even know me. So that one stuck with me. I like telling that story. I've never told that story publicly. So there it goes.
That's a great story.
That's a good story. All right. We have your turn.
Yes, I have another. So now you're on True Detective. Did you ever want to be a real detective?
Yeah. To be honest with you, I would love to be a real detective. I watch all those crime shows.
Yeah,
and,
me too.
I've always been that kind of nosy guy. Like
What would you detect, you think, Riley?
What would I detect?
Like murder or something like more like fraud, like financial crimes?
No. Murder. Yeah. I like the murder mysteries for sure. I don't want to get into the money and all that. That's like, you know, what do they call the blue white collar crimes?
Yeah. American greed, one.
The white collar crimes are boring. I think I'd like the murder crimes.
Have you ever made love to an actual detective?
Cop, not a
cop.
Detective.
Really?
Yeah.
Second, I was cop, and then was security guard.
Yeah.
Then was woman with a gun, and then was actually Sarah Palin. But a cop, nice. Where'd you meet a cop?
Chicago.
Not a Beverly
Hills.
Wow,
they have their own show too.
Yeah, they do have a couple of them.
Yeah.
This wasn't a fake one. This was a real one.
That's awesome.
Wow,
man.
That's cool. Did she play the cop role?
No, we didn't play. Not that I remember.
Yeah.
No. I did get to play with a gun though.
Yeah.
That's cool. And so did she.
Exactly.
Yeah, huh? I actually made love to a security guard down in Guantanamo Bay one time. That's a true story.
Wow.
I was down there doing stand up and made love to a young security guard.
I've had security guards throw me out of places where I tried to make love with somebody, but never actually happened with me. And
probably
someone...
Studs Theater over on Melrose, if you know what I'm saying.
All right. I think that's our 15 minutes. What do you think? Do you
want to
keep
going? That's 15 minutes with Riley Smith interviewing.
Now, I'm just going to say I think that Theo's technique was funny.
Definitely better. Yeah, definitely better.
Keep in mind the stories that I got out of you.
We're pretty good.
Versus the ones he got out of you.
I'm going to go ahead and give. This is an easy one. Theo's got the 5-4 advantage on that one. So,
right.
So, yeah, we'll give him 5 points on that one.
And you had to say it was an easy one?
Yeah, that was an easy. Theo's were great.
Thanks. Okay.
But he's only up by one.
Okay.
So this last round is going to be,
Okay.
Hey, now we're going to go into 7 minutes in hell. That's where I get to give a topic, and Matt has to talk about it for 7 minutes. And then Matt gets to give a topic, and I have to talk about it for 7 minutes. Riley, you can chime in
as
you want.
And you are involved.
Okay. Yes,
and so, Riley, your criteria for this is who makes the other one more uncomfortable and more miserable during this.
Good.
Or you can use the criteria of, like, which – you know, topic you find more interesting, whatever it is you want to do.
Okay.
See, as you see fit.
Okay. So with gay marriage, like, legalized in all 50 states,
yep.
I think there's only 50, right? Do you think that a lot of gay people are going to get married?
Why would this not be a topic I want to talk about?
Well, we're getting there. Don't worry.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Oh, okay. Do I think a lot of people will want to get married? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because it's a civil right that we should have. And just for that purpose, it affirms that we deserve this civil right in the first place.
So do you think, though, that like more gay people are going to be like actually less excited about it now that it, like the struggle is not there? Like now that the burden of
like
not
they don't
being
have a thing to.
Yes. Like now that the parade's over, like now that they got to kind of put down the eight ball and like get in the kitchen and be married together, like is it going to be, you know, kind of a bummer? Do you think a lot of gay guys will start coming back to women?
What?
What?
Is that what no, that eight, that is not how it works.
Do you think it's going to up the divorce
rate? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Do you think now that guys can get married,
they don't have that excuse anymore?
Yes. Do you think now they're just totally going to be getting divorced pretty quickly?
Yeah. I mean, maybe it'll certainly help divorce. You know, lawyers. But
mm-hmm.
I'm
that's
going
who really
back.
Won.
Yeah, that's who really won.
That's who won. But going back to your statement of. Will they? Because this is something a lot of people think is that, you know, if you're gay, you can just maybe switch it off and just. But although there are people who can.
No, I don't think anybody thinks that, really.
No, there are people like you look at like Amber Heard, who was a lesbian forever. And now she's married to Johnny Depp. Like,
right.
I don't know how that works. I personally don't believe in bisexual that much. To me, I think bisexual is I'm gay and I just don't really want to admit it. But that's just my own personal opinion. But a lot of people do believe that it's a choice and it's something that you could just switch on and off, and which I also don't think is true.
Right.
Anyway, going back to marriage. I can talk for me personally. I, now that I can get married, want to get married less.
Wow.
Because it, I don't know, it's not a, such a big a deal.
Well, because it's not cool. Yeah. That's why, I think.
It's not, yeah. I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's like, okay, I got it. You
are
know,
there,
it's one of those things where once you get
taboo,
it, you're like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there going to be a lot of men you think who are going to start like just like, really trying to fit into that wife role now, you think, since it's like the old-fashioned like marriage, like man, woman in the kitchen? Do you think you're going to see a lot of that kind of?
No.
No.
Kind of a question is that?
I have a question. I have a question.
Are men going to want to be start being women?
Yeah, are men going to want to start being housewives?
So I just found this out the other day. Can I interject really quickly?
Yeah.
I found out that some are bottoms, some are tops, some are only you know, bottoms or tops. But my question for
I think you might have to.
My question for you is the guy who's only the bottom, that's kind of the raw end of the deal, no pun intended, right? Like, how doesn't he want to get off?
Well, first off, I think you need to extrapolate as to what bottom and top is for
bottom
some of
is
our listeners here.
Yeah, like.
And I want to hear you. Now I'm making you uncomfortable.
All right, so there's a taker and there's a giver.
It's like doggy
like,
style. The bottom is the doggy and the top is
top
the style.
Top would be the pusher.
Yeah, the top is the style.
And the bottom would be the taker. Yeah. Now, if you're only a taker, wouldn't you want to give every once in a while?
No, there are people who sexually get off on just being the taker. I mean,
really?
The prostate can be...
oh, yeah. I've had a couple guys try to tell me that when they, you know...
Try to tell you or try to...
They call it the 51st state.
Let me touch your prostate, Riley. It'll be really good for you. I've tried that on some people.
Feels great.
Does it help your career?
I'm just checking for any lumps or anything. There are people that genuinely just get off on that, and I have met plenty of them.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that you can be a top or a bottom. That is a choice, like, and you can experiment. But I do know that there are people who just get off on that sexually. And I do believe there's also a submissive aspect to it.
Okay.
Now, if you were with a lady, say you were with a lady, right? Matt's never been with a woman, so that's referred to as a golden whisper when you're like a gay guy that's never been with a woman.
A gold star. And no matter how many times I tell him, it's not a golden whisper.
So you're not
whisper,
even sure you're gay. Because you got to at least taste
try.
It.
No, I'm sure because
like
I went down there and I was
remember
like.
Remember your parents would be like, you got to taste the green beans.
Yeah,
if
true,
you're going to tell me you don't
true.
Like them, just try them and
that's
tell me
true.
You don't like them.
That's one of my new goals is to get Matt unwhispered.
To try the green
it's
beans.
Not whispered.
Whatever it is, bro. But if you were with a woman, what would your preferred sexual position be?
With a woman?
Yeah.
This is not even a lie. I don't even know what
well, you have to pick
the positions
one.
Are.
Reverse cowgirl. That way you don't even have to look at her.
Is that when they're like sitting on your lap and
facing
and
the other
facing
way?
The other
facing
way.
The other
there
way. What do you guys call that?
reverse cowboy.
Yeah, I guess so.
Roofies. That's what we call it. this is true. I know there is something called missionary, and I don't even know what that means. This is honestly the God's.
It's where you pray. You get in a praying.
You pray
club.
The gay away.
Yes,
please. That engages.
All right, my 5 minutes are up.
That was pretty good.
Thanks, man. All right, that's my 7 minutes in hell. Matt, sentence me to 7 minutes.
All right. we are going to talk about one of my favorite topics in the world, Broadway. Now, let's talk about the state of Broadway.
You mean the street you take when you don't want to take Santa Monica Boulevard in Santa Monica?
No, I'm talking about the Great White Way. I'm talking about musicals and plays and art and, you know, the state of Broadway today not being, to me, as good as it used to be. But, you know, for instance, Theo, what's your favorite Broadway musical?
Dude, I only really know about two musicals, and I'd love to see them interact against each other. And I will say this. I bet the Newsies would beat the fuck out of Billy Elliot and his dad.
Those are the two shows you know?
Those are the two that I know.
Two shows starring young boys.
Hey, bro. Yeah, it's kind of like your Tinder profile. Starring young boys. Have you ever done a musical? You're
no,
on Broadway.
No, I did.
Would you do it?
You know, I think it's,
you
I
can sing. He's a singer.
A little bit. I would like it, actually. I did a table read that was on its feet last week for the first time, where it was kind of like a play, but we were still working off of a script, and it was live. And I thought, man, this is the energy of it was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like being on stage singing, you know, during a concert.
Well, last night I went to a stage reading of Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion, the musical.
Okay.
Which was pretty awesome.
Wow.
But it reminded me how much I love live theater and Broadway. I mean, I'm a huge rock Broadway fan, such as Tommy, you know, the Who's Tommy. I love Hair.
So you have Constantine Morales or whatever his name is?
He's okay.
Okay.
He's okay. I love Rocky Horror Picture Show is one of my oh my god, Riley would be so good in Rocky Horror Picture Show as Rocky.
Dude, we ate a bunch of mushrooms when I was in high school. I went to Rocky Horror Picture Show, and at the gas station, somebody let somebody else pump a bunch of gas into their throat.
What?
Yeah, somebody had to go to the hospital. So
why? Yeah, why? Where did that come from?
I don't know why.
I've been to, my experiences of Rocky Horror are different because I actually dressed up in drag. That's the only time I've ever done drag is dressing up for the Rocky Horror Picture Show as Frankenfurter. But are you a Broadway musical play fan yourself?
I go to them when I'm in New York. You know, it's not like I'm setting out to New York to go see a Broadway show, but I do definitely see them.
Do you have a favorite?
Yeah.
Look how uncomfortable he is right now.
You know, it wasn't a musical, but James Gandolfini, who my manager represents, represented, they got me tickets to his show, God of Carnage.
Oh, yeah.
Right before, you know, about a year before he passed. And I got to take my mom on Mother's Day, and we sat right down front. And then we went back, and she got to meet Jim, you know, and sat and talked to him in the cast. And that was honestly one of the favorite plays I've seen in a long time. And it won all the Tonys.
Yeah, that's a great play. Play.
God of Carnage.
This is a true story. I
would rather do that than a musical, I think.
But you have such a good voice.
I wouldn't say it's good. I like to sing. I love to write music, but I'm not compared to, you know, there's real singers. I'm not a real trained singer.
Well, this is true. When I was growing up, I sang. And this is, I should have known I was gay at this point.
See singing.
I should have known I was gay at this point because my mom used to make me sing Phantom of the Opera for her.
This is like a Will and Grace episode.
It's true. My mom, like when she was sad.
A deleted scene, maybe.
She would have me sing Phantom of the Opera to her, and it really like made her heart sore.
Made it sore as in like it made it hurt?
No, I was a good singer. I was a good singer.
Gay. That's not even gay. It's like this over gay.
I'm just picturing poor like 10-year-old Matt singing Phantom of the Opera songs to my mother crying in the background. Like, it just made me sad, but it's true. And that's kind of where my love for musicals began.
Okay. I saw Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah?
Yeah.
On Broadway. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I saw one time. Is that where the piano drops on someone, isn't it?
No. You're close. Keep thinking. It's a chandelier that drops.
Maybe I didn't see it.
No, you were in the right neighborhood.
Yeah. I was in New York one time, and speaking of something falling out of a building, somebody had jumped off a building and killed themselves, right?
Yeah.
And this homeless lady was like kind of standing. They blocked off the street, and I was like, what's going on? And this homeless lady is like, oh, somebody jumped off the building. And I was like, oh, are they all right? Like, the worst question ever. And she goes, they landed in my, and then she said her puss and pulled up her skirt and showed me her vagina. Right? The craziest thing that's ever occurred. Like,
how did you still on mushrooms?
I don't know. This is this lady, man.
You know what? This backfired. How did we turn something about Broadway into talking about a vagina?
And it was only a couple blocks off of Broadway, actually, in New York.
There you go. Have you seen Wicked? Wicked is really good.
I haven't seen Wicked. I've heard about it, though.
It's really good. Wicked's a really good one. I'm just a lot of times at the Hollywood Bowl, they have a musical each year. They did. that did Hair last year with Vanessa Hudgens.
What was the table read you saw last night?
Romeo and Michelle's High School Reunion, the musical.
Okay, so who did – was Mira involved in that?
No, it was AJ. You know Allie and AJ?
Yeah.
AJ
yeah.
played
okay.
the,
Guess what,
the
guys?
Girl.
Bam, no more chatting about this.
Yeah. All right, well, first – take that round. I'm yes. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, right? Yeah. I think we got to give this edge to Theo again.
Yes!
What?
Yes.
He was so uncomfortable talking about Broadway. Yes. You guys knew nothing about it. I was completely comfortable talking about
it. I'm going to give Theo the nod here because he did somehow take Broadway and still talk about vagina.
I can see that
perspective. Put it right over the top.
I can see that perspective of it. So I concede.
I know.
So that means?
Awesome. That means that I won the
You won the entire
podcast.
That means
I won the episode. Yep,
bummer.
I won the podcast. I allegedly won. I definitely won. We each get one parting question for Riley Smith.
Okay.
Matt, I get to ask mine last since
All
I
right.
won.
All right, Riley, I've always wanted to ask you this.
Okay.
Have you ever been with a man?
No.
Look,
I can honestly say no.
Damn.
Yeah, sorry, man.
What a shitty way to end the podcast.
God, he will hit on anything, dude. I won't even take him to a funeral of a boy over 18 because he will mill around the casket. Okay, my parting question for – all right, now the winner's parting question for Riley Smith. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Yeah,
I want to say that, man. Really excited for your career, always reaching new levels. Have you ever had your manager reach out to a hot chick for you, like an actress?
That's a great question. And to be honest with you, I haven't, but I've had it reverse done to
me. Ooh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a manager, this girl, I'm not going to name names. She's on a popular show.
Okay.
But she was cool. I guess I'd bummed, this was years ago, and I'd bummed smokes from her the night before at like a club.
Right.
And the next morning, my management sent over a pack of Parliament Lights, and she was also repped by them.
Nice.
And it was with a note from her saying, you know, hey, you probably need your own pack or something like that. I thought that was really, really clever of her. And I had a girlfriend at the time, so I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do about it. And then, like a week later, she had them call and ask if I wanted to be her date to this red carpet thing.
Wow.
And I had to pass, but I really gave her a lot of points for the effort.
Completely.
I thought it was
nice.
Like, is this how it works in Hollywood? And I really think it does work that way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, it was me. Surprise.
Yeah, but
after
you know
all
what?
These years.
You got to smoke them way down the hill, man. You can't smoke them up here,
exactly.
bro.
I love how you know how to bring everything full circle.
Sometimes, man.
Well, thank you so much, Riley Smith. So we can watch you on True Detective?
Yeah, well, True Detective just finished I did episodes 1 and 3, which just finished.
And what else you got coming up?
Man, you know, I've got the show that right now going on called The Messengers on the CW.
Nice.
Airs on Friday nights, and it's about the rapture. And we're halfway through. I think we did 13, and I think this is episode 10. So you can catch the last few, see how they wrap this thing up if you want.
Sweet, yeah, and, definitely. And you can follow Riley online at Riley Smith. I know on Twitter, Riley Smith.
Yeah,
on
just my name.
Instagram,
yeah.
Everything.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, despite the fact that you did not award your friend
I know,
the win.
The guy that brought me in here.
Yeah.
I made it.
Thank you very much for coming.
Sorry,
Eskimo Brothers wins every time, bro. Wins every time. Dude,
right.
Congrats so much on True Detective and
thank
all that
you,
you've done, dude, and The Messengers, and we'll have you back. I'd love to have you back.
Yeah, man, I'd love to be back.
Thanks.
All right, thanks,
see
bro.
You guys.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. No need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudeen posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.